Ekatra Podcast Conversations. For the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Welcome back. It's great to have you with us for this deep dive.
Yeah, welcome. And thanks especially to you, our listener, for sharing the really fascinating material we're digging into this week. Today, we're immersing ourselves in Richard Bellamy's thinking on citizenship.
We're basically synthesizing the core ideas from, well, his key works on the subject.
It feels incredibly relevant right now, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you just ask people randomly what's citizenship, most folks will say, you know, having a passport or maybe a list of rights, following the rules. It's quite static.
Exactly. And that's the idea Bellamy really wants us to challenge. So our mission here really is to get past that passive definition.
Mm-hmm.
We're exploring his, well, frankly, quite radical Republican idea that citizenship isn't just something you have, like a document or some entitlements,
right,
but it's fundamentally an active political practice.
Yeah.
Something you actually have to do.
Yeah.
Continuously.
And that shift in thinking just feels so crucial today. I mean, look around. We've got huge technological shifts. Politics is so polarized.
Yeah.
And there's this growing worry about our democracies, what he calls the democratic deficit. So understanding that real participation is the bedrock of self-governance, it's vital.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Maybe start with the thinker himself. Who is Richard Bellamy? And why is his take on democracy so important?
Sure. So Richard Bellamy is a really distinguished political theorist. He's a professor of political science at University College London.
Okay.
And his expertise kind of spans historical constitutional theory, how democracy actually works in practice, and modern European politics. So he brings this great mix of historical depth and like a practical grasp of how institutions function.
What I find really interesting is that he's known as a major voice for modern republicanism and something called political constitutionalism.
All right.
Now, to someone outside political theory, those terms sound, well, pretty dense. Maybe even like they clash.
They are dense, definitely, but they're totally foundational to his argument. If we try to simplify it, republicanism, for Bellamy, is really about freedom through self-rule.
Meaning
you're only truly free when you live under laws that you yourself had a hand in making. It's about non-domination by arbitrary power.
Okay, that makes sense. And the political constitutionalism part, that's where it gets tricky, right?
Yeah.
Because we tend to think courts, maybe a Supreme Court, protect the Constitution. That's legal constitutionalism.
Exactly. And Bellamy pushes against that view pretty hard. He argues that democratic politics itself, you know, the messy ongoing process of public debate, argument, making decisions together among citizens and representatives, that is the main source of legitimacy.
Okay.
And it's the ultimate way we protect freedom. So freedom isn't primarily secured by judges looking at an old document. It's secured by us actively arguing about what that document means and making sure power stays accountable.
Huh. So the real safeguard for our rights isn't just some dusty text or a court ruling.
Nope.
It's the constant watchful engagement of the people. That Republican focus on active participation, that's his key lens then.
Precisely. It really is the heart of his work on citizenship.
Okay, so let's dive into the core argument of his books. His central claim, as we've touched on, is that citizenship has to be seen as this active participatory thing, a relationship between people and their political community.
Yeah, and it's a direct challenge to the more traditional liberal idea that citizenship is just, you know, a bundle of individual rights you possess.
He grounds this historically, doesn't he? Contrasting ancient ideas with modern ones.
He does.
Yeah.
Think about that shift. In ancient Athens, being a citizen, a politus, meant this incredibly demanding, almost constant commitment to civic life.
Right. Ruling, judging, fighting.
Yeah.
Your identity was your political role.
Totally. And super exclusive, of course. Then you see the shift with Rome. Being a civis was much more about a legal status. It gave you protections under Roman law, even if you lived miles away and never set foot in the Senate.
It was like a legal shield, protecting your rights regardless of your day-to-day participation.
Exactly. A legal umbrella.
And that tension between active ruling and passive legal protection, that's what modern democracies are always juggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we protect individual rights, the liberal bit, while also keeping up the demands of governing ourselves together, the Republican bit? especially now, with societies being so much bigger and more diverse than Athens.
And Bellamy's answer, his synthesis, is basically that they depend on each other. You can't really have one without the other, not sustainably anyway.
Okay.
We need a robust model where civic participation and political equality aren't just nice extras. They have to be the absolute foundation. If that foundation of participation crumbles,
then the rights built on top eventually crumble too.
That's the argument.
That sets things up powerfully. Which leads us, I think, right into the real theoretical core, where Bellamy engages with the sociologist T.H. Marshall. He uses Marshall's ideas about citizenship rights as a starting point, but then takes them somewhere else.
Yeah, Marshall's work from the mid-20th century is classic. He gave us that famous framework showing how rights sort of unfolded historically in three waves.
Right. First, 18th century, you get civil rights, freedom of speech, thought, property, access to justice, basic individual freedoms.
Then 19th century brings political rights, the right to vote, form political parties, run for office, the tools for participation.
And finally, the 20th century adds social rights, things linked to the welfare state, like basic welfare support, education, healthcare. Marshall saw these social rights as kind of the capstone, right? Ensuring everyone had a baseline to participate fully.
Yes, exactly. But here's where Bellamy makes his crucial Republican critique. He argues that Marshall's model, while historically insightful, risks creating a passive citizen. Well, someone who mainly sees the state as, like, a provider of benefits and a protector of their basic civil rights, rather than seeing the state as a collective political project they are actively shaping.
But hold on, isn't that asking a lot? If maintaining our rights requires constant political wrangling and participation, I mean, people have jobs, families, isn't political burnout a real risk?
That's a totally fair point, and it's a common concern. Bellamy isn't necessarily saying everyone has to become a full-time activist.
Okay.
His big emphasis is on what he calls the primacy of the political. The core idea is that it's through the active use of those political rights, voting, debating, organizing, holding officials accountable, that we as citizens collectively define what our civil and social rights actually mean in practice and how they're secured and funded.
Okay, can you give a practical example? How could neglecting the political erode, say, a social right?
Sure. Think about public education, a key social right. If citizens become passive consumers of education, maybe just focused on their own kids' school, but they stop engaging politically voting in local elections, paying attention to school board funding debates, holding state legislators accountable,
right,
then, you know, maybe a government or even unelected officials could quietly start cutting funds, changing curricula, pushing privatization. The right to education might still exist on paper.
But its actual substance gets hollowed out because people weren't politically vigilant.
Exactly. The political engagement is the engine that keeps all the other rights running and meaningful.
It really reframes it. If we disengage politically, we basically lose control over defining our own safety nets and freedoms.
Wow. Okay. Which brings us to the next big challenge he tackles. Multicultural citizenship.
Yeah, this is a huge one. If active self-government is so vital, how does a political community hold together democratically when its people are increasingly diverse, culturally, ethnically, religiously?
The traditional idea was often based on shared culture, right? The ethnos. Right. And Bellamy argues strongly against needing that kind of cultural uniformity. He thinks demanding assimilation is not only unfair, it's often destabilizing in practice.
So if it's not shared language or history or holidays that binds the political community, the demos, together, what is it?
For Bellamy, the unity has to come from a shared commitment to inclusive democratic procedures and political values.
Ah, okay. So process over specific culture.
Exactly. You don't need to share the same heritage or traditions, but you do need to share a commitment to the rules of the game, the democratic process that allows everyone, regardless of background, to participate fairly in shaping your shared political future. The bond is political and procedural, not cultural or ethnic.
That's a really useful distinction for thinking about integration debates today. Okay, let's tackle the final big question from the book.
Yeah.
The spatial one. Is global citizenship really a thing? In a meaningful political sense, anyway.
Bellamy's pretty pragmatic here and generally skeptical. He absolutely acknowledges we have huge global problems, climate change, pandemics, international finance, you name it.
Right, things that cross borders.
But he argues that real political citizenship needs a demos or a specific group of people, usually within a state, who share institutions where they can actually hold power accountable.
Meaning, if I can't realistically vote for or somehow hold accountable the person or body making the big decisions,
yeah,
then calling myself a global citizen is more of an ethical stance or an aspiration, not really a political role with teeth.
That's basically it. The nation state, for all its flaws, is still the main place where democratic self-government actually happens, because that's where the structures for accountability generally exist.
So things like EU citizenship.
He sees things like EU citizenship as, well, currently quite a weak supplement to national citizenship. It adds some rights, sure, but it doesn't replace the core democratic control and legitimacy citizens have or should have at the national level.
Okay, so we've established this core idea. Citizenship as active participation, not passive status. And the political process being key, maybe even more than shared culture. Let's try to boil this down. What are, say, three key themes listeners should really take away?
Okay, three big ones. First, reinforcing the main point, citizenship as political participation. This is the direct antidote to apathy. Bellamy sees citizenship almost like holding an office.
An office, like a job.
Kind of, yeah, with duties to deliberate, engage, share, and governing. If you don't show up for your job, that office is effectively vacant and, well, someone else will make the decisions for you.
That's a strong metaphor. Okay, what's number two?
Number two is the interdependence of rights and responsibilities. We often talk about them separately, but Bellamy insists they're two sides of the same coin.
How so?
Rights aren't just things you get. They need active civic engagement responsibilities to be protected, funded, and even defined. If we just take rights for granted and stop doing the work,
they can wither away.
Right.
Okay, and the third?
The third is his ongoing concern about the democratic deficit. This is the practical threat he sees today.
Which is?
It's the growing power of unelected bodies, technocrats, experts making crucial decisions without real democratic input or oversight. Things feel increasingly distant from citizen control.
And the solution.
The only way to tackle that deficit, he argues, is by strengthening our democratic institutions and deliberately creating more ways for ordinary citizens to participate meaningfully and hold power accountable.
Got it. Active participation, rights linked to responsibilities, and fighting the democratic deficit.
Okay. Now, Bellamy's writing can be academic, but some of the core ideas are really punchy when you pull them out. Let's share a few key phrases or ideas that capture his vision.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one I really like, it sort of sums up the whole political rights argument.
Mm.
Citizenship involves having rights to have rights.
Ooh, I like that. It's wonderfully concise. It means citizenship isn't just about having a predefined list of rights.
It's about having the power to participate in the process that creates and defines those rights in the first place. You're part of the rights-making machinery.
Exactly. You're in the room where it happens, so to speak, not just waiting outside for the results.
Okay, another one.
How about his way of resolving that tension between individual freedom and collective rule? The challenge of modern citizenship is not to choose between individual rights and collective self-governance, but to understand how they depend on each other.
Yeah, that's key. They're not opposites. They actually reinforce each other. If the collective doesn't actively govern itself, individual rights eventually lose their political foundation.
Mm-hmm. And one more, maybe on the diversity point.
Good idea.
Inclusive citizenship does not require cultural uniformity, but it does require shared commitment to inclusive democratic processes.
Simple, clear, and powerful. Focus on the shared rules of the democratic game, not on making everyone culturally the same. That feels incredibly relevant for navigating diversity today. So this is all fascinating theory, but how can you, listening right now, actually apply these ideas? What are some practical takeaways?
Well, maybe the most direct one is just rethinking how you view voting and civic life generally.
Okay.
Try to stop seeing voting as, I don't know, an annoying chore or like picking the least bad option on a menu. Bellamy pushes for a mindset shift. See it as a fundamental civic duty.
Like that office idea again?
Exactly. It's the essential work of governing yourselves collectively. It shifts the question from what's the government doing for me to what are we together deciding to do?
That's a big internal shift. Yeah. What about for people involved in things like education or community work?
Well, Bellamy's framework gives a really strong argument for seeing things like quality education or maybe access to healthcare or even decent internet.
Yeah.
Not just as nice things to have or purely humanitarian goals, but as actual prerequisites for full democratic citizenship.
Ah, because if people lack those basic resources,
they lack the capacity, the health, the knowledge, the time, the energy to participate effectively in the political life that's supposed to sustain everyone. So social rights enable political rights in a way.
That makes a lot of sense, but maybe one more. Using it as a lens.
Yeah, absolutely. Use that distinction he makes between civic unity based on shared process and ethnic unity based on shared culture.
Now.
When you hear debates about immigration or integration policies, apply that lens. Ask, is this policy promoting fair inclusion based on commitment to democratic rules? Or is it subtly, or not so subtly, demanding cultural assimilation as the price of entry? It helps you analyze the fairness.
That's a really practical analytical tool you can use just reading the news. Great suggestions. Okay, wrapping up. What was maybe the most surprising thing for you, or the insight that really stuck with you from revisiting Bellamy?
You know, for me, it might be the depth of that critique of T.H. Marshall. We often just celebrate the expansion of rights, civil, then political, then social, as linear progress.
Yeah, it seems like a good thing.
It is. But Bellamy's insistence that the political rights are the ultimate guarantor, the engine driving the others, that was powerful. The idea that if we neglect the active political part, the voting, the organizing, the holding accountable, then even the social rights we value, like welfare or healthcare, become incredibly vulnerable. They aren't self-sustaining.
That really resonated with me too. That primacy of the political idea is crucial. Okay, so if we leave our listener with one final really valuable takeaway from Bellamy.
I think it has to be the core message. Democratic government and active citizenship are completely intertwined. They rise or fall together. Democracy just isn't a spectator sport. You can't just passively receive its benefits, its legitimacy, the protection of rights, its very future. It all depends fundamentally on citizens being vigilant and continuously engaged.
So the idea of just passively enjoying your rights is basically an illusion.
It's an illusion, yeah. The active, sometimes difficult work of citizenship is the only thing that truly keeps freedom alive.
A really powerful reminder. We've covered a lot, moving beyond citizenship as mere status, understanding the vital role of political participation, and the challenges of democracy in our complex world.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.